Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.org. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 10:15 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
The first Noel, the angels did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so
today would not take these songs that we know so well for granted, that we miss the message that is found in each of them, that we sing Gloria, Hallelujah to you, our Savior King, that we stop and reflect on the fact that you brought new life to us in such an amazing way. Father, that we can sing Born is the King of Israel, and that is not just about some small lowly manger. That is really one of the greatest movements of spiritual warfare to ever take place in all of humankind. So Father, my prayer is that now, as we open your word, you'll transform us. Father, that you will speak to us, that we might be challenged today, even as we read your word, to the truth of who you are and what you're doing in our lives. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you have a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 1. We begin a brand new series today called The Thrill of Hope. And this series, you'll notice that little line from the song, Oh Holy Night. We'll be using that throughout the next month. But it is truly thrilling to have hope in God. Amen. Now, we seem a little subdued today. We're a little smaller in number in person. I think we've got a higher group participating online today, and I'm thankful. But I don't know about you guys, but if you're still on that little tryptophan stupor from all the turkey you had over the last few days, maybe you're a little sleepy or extra, it's exciting to come together, though, and make a decision
to worship the Lord. And so that's what we do today as we begin this new message series. Now, I want you to understand that this book, Come Let Us Adore Him, will be an accent to the series you'll find in just a moment. So please plan to participate with that as we move forward. Christmas is full of choices. There are many choices to be made. So I'm going to ask you, and online you can select by just typing your answer on Facebook. If you're on there with comments, or if you're on the regular website, you just decide at home what you think. But here in the room, I'll let you to raise your hand. I'm going to give you two preferences, and I'm going to ask you which type of item for Christmas you prefer. There's two types of movies. There's It's a Wonderful Life, and there is Elf. Now, one is the classics of old, and one is the classics of new. Who prefers It's a Wonderful Life? Raise your hand. Who prefers Elf? Raise your hand. All right. Who doesn't like to raise their hand when the pastor asks? Okay. See, there's two or three of you. And me, I like both. Christmas movies, give me all of them. Everyone in between, I like them all. Happy to have them. How about this? Colored lights or white lights? Who prefers colored lights? Raise your hand. I'm all about the color. Who prefers white? You people are elegant. I like that. Okay, great. So how about this type of song? O Holy Night or White Christmas? Who prefers O Holy Night? Who prefers White Christmas? It's a pretty evenly split room here, I'm telling you. I don't know about the folks at home. Fresh cut Christmas trees or artificial trees? My wife would say boo to artificial, but I like both. Who likes fresh cut tree? Raise your hand. Who likes artificial? Okay, about half and half again in the room. How about this? You prefer to give and receive gift cards, or you prefer to give and receive an actual gift? Who prefers gift cards? Raise your hand. We're in the minority. I'm with you guys. Who prefers actual gifts? See, that's you guys are very thoughtful people, okay? How about this last one? Fruitcake or cardboard, okay? right? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because I know the answer already. And you know how I feel about that just by looking here, okay? I have every year when I talk about how fruitcake is horrible, someone says, well, you've never had my fruitcake. No, I haven't. Now, you can make one, and I'll try by it, but that's all I'm going to tell you is that. So, but the Christmas story, though, the nativity, it's full of choices as well. There were preferences that were made in the Christmas story, but there were definitely choices. Choices go all the way back to the beginning of time, even before man was on the planet. Think about this for a moment. Satan chose to rebel in heaven. It was his choice to sin, and he did. God chose, when he created man, to give us a choice. He created us in his image, which gives us the ability to choose to worship him or not, to choose between what is right and what is wrong. And that allows us to be able to worship him truly. But the front end of that means that a lot of bad choices were made. Adam and Eve were the first. They chose to sin. God then chose to kill an animal to provide clothing for them. He chose to sacrifice. Then years later, he chose to send his son to be the ultimate redemption for us, to redeem us, to be our sacrifice. And Jesus chose to love us time and time again. He chooses to love us. Friends, Jesus was willing. Now that's a phrase I want you to keep in your mind today. Jesus was willing. Now, he is still willing, but we're going to talk about the past tense for just a couple of moments. The new devotion book that we'll be going through together on Wednesday, December the 2nd, you're reading for December the 2nd. I'm going to read to you one little paragraph. Each week, I will take one little paragraph from the week's devotion and sort of use it as a base point for what we're talking about. So listen to these words. So here's what the Christmas story is all about. A willing Savior is born to rescue unwilling people from themselves because there is no other way. Jesus was willing to leave the splendor of eternity to come to this broken and groaning world. He was willing to take on human flesh with all of its frailty. He was willing to endure an ignominious birth in a stable. He was willing to go through the dependency of childhood. He was willing to expose himself to all the hardships of life in this fallen world. He was willing to submit to his own eternal law.
He was willing to do his Father's will at every point. He was willing to serve when he deserved to be served. He was willing to be misunderstood and mistreated. He was willing to endure rejection and gross injustice. He was willing to preach a message that would cause him personal harm. He was willing to suffer public mockery. He was willing to endure physical torture. He was willing to go through the pain of his Father's rejection. He was willing to die. He was willing to rise and ascend to be our constant advocate. Jesus was willing. Why was Jesus willing to do all that for you and for me? Hebrews chapter 12 tells us why. Don't turn there. You stay in Matthew 1, but let me read it to you. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2 say this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder or author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. That scripture tells us that the joy set before Jesus allowed him to be willing to endure the cross and to deal with its shame and to be even rejected by God and to turn to him. So, what was it that caused Jesus to endure the cross and its shame? Here's the answer. He was willing because we were his joy. When it says the joy set before him, that's you and that's me. You and I are the joy set before him. It's millions upon millions of redeemed sinners turned saint who will worship the triune Godhead for all eternity. It's all the believers. We were his joy set before him. It was the joy to know we will worship him for all eternity. It was also his joy set before him was his own eternal glory that he deserved, and that the Father would be worshiped in perfection for all eternity. That is all the joy we see in Christ, what the scripture shows us. So Jesus was willing to go to the cross for you and for me. But the Christmas story is not an easy one. As we see the baby born in the manger, we think, oh, how simple and plain. But it was not an easy story. It was full of hard, difficult choices we will see this morning. But Jesus was willing. Let me ask you, is your life full of hard choices as well? It is. Every person in this room, every person who is participating online, those who are listening on the radio, your life is full of hard choices. There is an Australian life coach who's become pretty popular in Australia over the last number of years, but his social media is becoming popular in the U.S., and he penned something that's been passed around social media for a few months now, but it's pretty powerful. Listen to this about hard choices. He says this, marriage is hard and divorce is hard. Choose your hard. Obesity is hard. Being fit is hard. Choose your hard. Being in debt is hard. Being financially disciplined is hard. Choose your hard. Communication is hard. Not communicating is hard. Choose your hard. Life will never be easy. It will always be hard, but we can choose our hard, so pick wisely. Now, those are very wise words. All of life is hard. There's no decision you're going to make that living that out doesn't require some hard act of that, most likely. But here's the problem. What I've learned about myself is that if I were to judge my own life, I judge it by my intentions. And you most likely judge your own life by your intentions. But here's the thing. Life cannot be defined by our intentions, because as much as we have good intentions, we will often not follow through. So in many ways, here's the truth if you're writing things down. Life is defined by what we are willing to do and what we are unwilling to do. You can have the best of intentions to lose 50 pounds in the next year, but if you are unwilling to put away the donuts, it won't happen. I'm talking to myself, not to you guys. But you can have the best of intentions to share the gospel with a relative or a friend when you see them at Christmas. But if you are unwilling to speak those words and start that conversation, it will never happen. Intentions will get you nowhere. So friends, what are you willing to do? What am I willing to do? the nativity story, we're going to look quickly at four different people, two that were willing to do something, two that were unwilling to do something. We'll move through this quickly. Start in Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.'" Verse 21, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet." Verse 23, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. "So when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." Now, who do we see that was willing in this story? Joseph. Joseph was willing to ruin his reputation to play his little part in God's grand story. Joseph was willing. You say, what do you mean bad reputation? Listen, babies born out of wedlock were life-changing, shame-bringing events in biblical times. Joseph would have lost his good reputation among those he did business with. He would have lost his good reputation among his family. He would have lost his good reputation among his neighbors. He would have lost his good reputation among those that he would trade goods with at market. This was a shame-bringing event. But because an angel of the Lord told him, "Do not be afraid, this is God's son," Joseph was willing to let go of his reputation. Let's look at someone else who was willing. Matthew chapter 2. Turn the page in your Bible or flip the screen on your tablet. Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem." Your Bible might say magi. It's the same word. Saying, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Verse 3, "When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Verse 7. "Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.'" Verse 9. "After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child was with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." So who was willing in this story? The Magi, the wise men. The Magi were willing to be uncomfortable for months of travel to worship the king and present him with gifts. It took them months and months to get to Jesus. Dusty, dirty roads, sleeping on the side of the road, finding shelter when they could, eating what they could find with provision. Even though these were probably wealthy men, and they were definitely men who would have had high esteem where they were from in the Far East, life was difficult on this road and this journey. But they were willing to take it and to do it, to be uncomfortable, to present Jesus with those gifts. Now, I could give you a lot more examples of people who are willing, but for time's sake, let's not. Let's move right on to people that were unwilling. Look at the next couple of verses, Matthew chapter 2, skip to verse 16. It says this, "Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men." Listen, that's not part of the nativity story we talk about a lot. This is horrible, horrific, evil. But he does so. Verse 17, "Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in loud lamentation. Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more." So who was unwilling? Herod. Herod was unwilling to yield his small throne to the king of the world. It reminds me of a child in the backyard in a sandbox when the father who owns the house and owns the yard and built the sandbox comes out and says, "It's time to get out, let's go." And the child pitches a tantrum, a fit, and won't come out and go. This reminds me of that, how a man with his own little kingdom was unwilling to yield to the king of the universe. Herod was unwilling. Last one who's unwilling, really quickly, Luke chapter 2. Switch from Matthew to Luke really quickly. If you will, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Listen to this. It says, "In those days," the Christmas story told from Luke's perspective, "in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." Verse 5, "He went there to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child." Verse 6, "And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to a firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn." You've heard this many times before, but I want you to think about the context of what we're reading. What we know is that everyone in that region was required to go to their hometown for a census. It would affect taxation. It would affect wartime. It would affect all kinds of things. So everyone was going somewhere. Just as we took a census this year, people made it easy. Someone gave you a code to do it online, or they came to your door. In this instance, you had to go physically to where you were from. So here they were, taking a census, registering, coming up with who all was there. Many, many people would have been in Bethlehem. And so the context of this is that lots of people would have seen this pregnant woman, this greatly pregnant woman who was about to give birth to a baby. Now realize, I love nativities, and I had some friends today that brought me a nativity as a gift. And if you go in my office, some of you probably have never been in my office. You're all invited after church. We'll go one at a time because of COVID, but you're welcome to come. I have nativities from all over the world. Some are made out of banana leaves. Some are made out of Coke cans. Some are made out of gourds. I have some made out of oil drums from Haiti. Just come into my office. I'd love to show them to you. But nativities, if you've got a beautiful one in your home, what happens is we look at that and it begins to shape our thinking about the nativity story. And you may have a really fancy one that has an inn and then has the manger behind it. You may have an innkeeper there. The reality is the scripture never, ever mentions an innkeeper. The scripture doesn't really mention the crowds around. But I think it is safe to assume from what we read here that someone said, "There's no room in the inn," as the scripture says. And someone said, "You can stay in this stable, in this lambing cave." And someone saw them going down the road. They had contact with many, many people. And so what I would say is this, that these people were so busy doing, they weren't busy doing their Christmas shopping. This was the first Christmas, remember? They weren't busy trying to gather with family for those reasons. They were simply trying to get where they were going and get the job done because nobody wanted to be in the situation they were in, having to take a census. And so all these busy people were there, but busy people who saw that pregnant woman, busy people were unwilling to slow down and take part in the greatest birth of all time. So what about you and what about me? My life and your life, our lives are defined by what we're willing to do and what we are unwilling to do. So let's take these four examples really fast and decide about our own lives. The first one, the Magi were willing to drop everything, to forego their plans and be uncomfortable for months in order to bring Jesus gifts. If you are participating online, if you are sitting in this room, if you are listening on the radio and you know Jesus, you have a relationship with him, then you need to understand you have gifts that belong to him. You have gifts that have been given to you by him, but he wants them back. He's given them to you so that you could use those as gifts for his kingdom. So my question is, are you willing to use those gifts for him? The Magi were. Are you willing to be uncomfortable to do so? They were. Are you willing to change your plans for the next few months, if you have to walk in obedience to him? The Magi were. Are you willing to get dirty and dusty on the road of obedience to do what God tells you to do? The Magi were ready. Are you willing to start some new journey of faith today, following God's lead in your life? The Magi were. I want to encourage you to stop and decide in your own life, am I willing? I have gifts. I have talents. I have treasure. I have time. You have gifts, talents, treasure, time. The very things that God is saying, are you willing to let your life be disrupted so that you can live those out and bring them back to me? I hope you are. Second, Joseph was willing to have his reputation ruined to be part of God's plan. As I realized this on Monday in preparing this, I wrote down this phrase. As long as we value what others think of us above what God thinks of us, we will never be able to walk in his abundant life. As long as you and I think more about what other people think about us than what Jesus thinks about us, we will never be able to walk in abundant life. We can be saved, but I don't want to settle for just being saved. I don't want to settle for being a nominal Christian. I want to be a radical, Holy Spirit-filled follower of Jesus, and I hope you do too. I want to be willing to risk my reputation, my good reputation, to live a life of love and grace and mercy and ministry that God's called me to. You see, I want to love some people that some others might think I shouldn't love. I want to care and show grace to some people that others might say, I don't know if we should show grace to them. Listen, I want to follow what the scripture says and not what our own man-made rules and regulations say. We want to show God's love and mercy and grace. And I'm willing to risk my reputation, at least sometimes. If I'm being honest, sometimes I'm unwilling. Sometimes I want to just fit in. Sometimes I want to simply do what seems to make sense. So what about you? Are you willing or unwilling? And then there's Herod. Herod was willing to yield his throne to King Jesus. Can I ask you, who sits on the throne of your life today? Now, it's easy to say Jesus, but I want you to think about it. Who sits on the throne of your life? When you think about England, I used this illustration a few years ago. England is an interesting place because it's a monarchy, but it also has a constitution. So there's a queen, we all know that, and there's a royal family. We see them in the tabloids, we see them on social media. We stop to watch their weddings and their funerals. And we see them on parade, and they have a lot of great things to offer. But the reality is, if you want the inner workings of day-to-day living to take place, the governmental affairs of an entire nation do not rest at the feet of a queen. It's from a prime minister in parliament. They're the ones that make decisions, good or bad, for how a way of life for people. Now, it's interesting because there's this combination between parliament and the queen. The queen's the one who literally would declare war if they were going to go to war. But really beyond that, there's not a lot of things that the queen necessarily does. Parliament and prime minister tend to do a whole lot more things. The royal family, though, has all the wealth. They're giving a very large stipend every year. They have the reputation. They have the representation. They look good on display for the entire nation. But if you want the real business to be done, you go to the parliament, you go to the prime minister. So the simplest way I can ask you is this. When you're deciding who sits on the throne of your life, who's in charge of your life, who makes decisions, is Jesus your constitutional king or is he your prime minister? I hope he's both. I hope he's both in your life. Well, how do you know? Well, here's how you know. Answer this question. Who's making the decisions in your life? Who rules when no one else is watching? If I'm being totally honest with you, I have a little throne just like you have a little throne. We all have our own little kingdom, so to speak. And here's what I know. Sometimes I am flat out unwilling to abdicate my throne. I like being there and making the decisions. But the truth is, if I really want to be close to God, be honoring to him, walk in intimacy with him, I have to pray and ask that Jesus be king of my life at all times, that he be the king of the king of my heart and ruler of my life. That's my desire. I'm not always willing, but that is my desire. So lastly, let me ask this question. Busy people we saw in Luke, we're unwilling to slow down and take part in the greatest birth of all time. Can I ask, are you willing or unwilling to slow down and savor the Savior? Again, confession time. If I'm being honest, I often wear my busyness like some badge of honor. That's ridiculous, but I'll do it. I bet my standard answer that I would say 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 times a week when I run into people. How you doing? Man, I'm busy. That's a dumb answer. That's not how I'm doing. That shouldn't be an answer that I'm proud to say. That needs to be an answer that needs to be evaluated, because life's not about being busy. I'm going to start saying, man, I'm productive. I don't know what anybody would think if I said that, but it's not true, but it would sound good. Get their attention. I think I'm going to start saying, man, I'm nice looking. How about that? That's what you should try. Try that. But we like to say we're busy. We Americans wear it as some badge of honor. And if I'm honest, that's a sad, sad commentary for your life and mine. May I become willing to say no to more things and yes to only the best things. It will change the way my life is lived out. If I do so, here's what I know. My physical health will be healthier. My family will flourish. My work life will be wiser. My ministry will matter more, and my relationship with Jesus will be revived. If we can just slow down and not be quite so busy and savor the Savior. So my question to you is, with these four things, what are you willing to do? What are you unwilling to do? Don't tell me your intentions, but let's stop and think about the follow through. Will you be willing to step into the uncomfortable, dusty road of loving people like Jesus? Listen, you've got that one relative you're about to see at your family gathering that it's hard to love. Love them like Jesus. You've got that friend that doesn't believe in God, that struggles with understanding because they've been hurt by some religious people in the past or whatever the circumstance may be. And so they're struggling, and you're going to have a chance, because we sing these songs of faith and they're going to sing them with you just this one time of year, that you're going to have an opportunity to speak words of life and show them love. Love them like Jesus. It may be uncomfortable, dusty, and dirty, but do it. Love them like Jesus. That friend that feels and lives very differently than you, realize that Jesus came to earth as a baby, lived to be a man, went to the cross, and came to the empty tomb, came out of the grave, and he will return again, not just for you, but for the likes of that person too, wanting that person to come to know him. So are you willing to be uncomfortable and walk that dusty road to show him the love of Jesus? It may not be easy. But are you willing? Are you willing to disregard what others think and focus only on what King Jesus thinks about our choices and actions? Are we willing to place Jesus on the throne of our little lives, our little kingdom? Place him on the throne in my decisions, in my responses, in my mercy, in my love toward others. And then lastly, are you willing, am I willing to slow down and savor this life with the Savior, to walk slowly through the crowd, to do what Jesus did, to look for people? I get so busy moving so fast that I miss people around me. And I feel like Jesus would say to me often, you just passed that person, what are you doing? You just passed that need, what are you doing? That person needs a conversation and you're in a hurry to get wherever. Stop and slow down. I feel like the Lord has really been working on me in that way. Will you walk slowly through the crowd? And if you happen to be here, or you happen to be participating online and you do not know Jesus, you don't have a relationship with him, here's the best news I can give you. Don't miss this. Jesus is still willing to save people today. Jesus is still willing to forgive us of the sins in our life today. And he is still willing to make us new today. So friends, what will you do? Don't share your intentions. Decide what you're willing or unwilling to do and own it. Live it out. Would you bow with me? Just a moment of prayer. Father God, I want to be willing to be of no reputation to honor you. Father, I want to be willing to not worry so much about what others think when I worship and worry about what you think. To not worry so much about what others think in building relationships with non-believers, but to worry about what you think. To not worry about so much what others think, but to live out the ministry you've called me to. God, help me to follow your word and your truth. Father, I want to be willing to have Jesus on the throne of my life. I'm tired of abdicating it or not abdicating it. I want to be willing to give it up for you. That you would make the decisions in my life, that you would lead, that you would be the first thought in the morning and the last thought before we go to bed. Lord, I want to give up my worries and my concerns and my anxieties to you. Father, I want to give up my anger and my resentment to you. I want to give up my selfishness and my pride to you. Lord, may you be the king of my throne, my life. And then, Father, lastly, just help me not to be so busy that I'm no good to you in eternity. God, may I learn to slow down and be in relationship and not treat people as some transaction, but treat them as relational. God, help me. Help us each to do that. Even in the craziness and the busyness of life, may we find those times to savor the Savior. God, thank you for that. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.